Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Game Night on the Incomparable Game Show. I'm your host, Anthony Johnston, and once again we are going to play UK 1980s Nostalgia Trivial Pursuit, where we take an edition of the game aimed at people who grew up in 1980s Great Britain and play it with a group of people who grew up elsewhere and elsewhen. Hilarity ensues, as they say. So, Johnny Foreigners today are, in order of longitude, in Boston, hello, Tony Sindelar.
Hello.
In Alberta, Canada, Watcher, Erica Ensign.
Hello.
In San Diego, all right, Geezer, Steve Lutz.
Never mind the bollocks, here's Steve Lutz.
Classic. In Seattle, how do, Monty Ashley?
Good day, eh?
Wait. Wrong!
Oh, no.
Not bad. And finally, just lurking outside Monty's window, also in Seattle, salutations, Glenn Fleischman.
Hi there, but I think you're taking a lot of latitude with the longitude, so I'm not sure about that.
Oh, am I? It's entirely possible.
I wasn't going to say anything.
There is a reason that I'm not a player on this. All right, now, the rules of the game are the same as always, which is to say that we play on a regular board with regular rules, and then at some arbitrary point when it all becomes too much, we'll decide how many pie pieces are actually required to win. But one thing that is different is the categories, which are not the same as the regular Trivial Pursuit. So instead, blue is news and views, pink is entertainment, yellow is living in the 80s, which is a terrible thing to say about yellow. Brown is people and personalities.
The category is entirely lyrics from Morris Day and the Time songs.
Green is music and music makers. And orange is sporting moments. Not sport, but sporting moments. There is no getting away from sport. More's the pity. So if everybody's ready, let us begin. Let's have a dice roll to see who goes first. Let's go in order. Tony first.
Two.
Three.
I got a six.
I got a four.
Yep. So unless... Glenn? Yep, it's Steve. Woo-hoo! Okay, oh. So...
Whoopee!
Steve then is going to kick us off, if you would be so kind, and we will then proceed in the same Westward Ho order in which you were introduced.
What did you call me?
Hey, indeed.
It's a six.
Another six.
Oh, man.
Which means it's pie time. I have to pick from amongst these various things. I'm going to go green.
Green.
Which is music and music makers.
All right. Which duo reunited in 1981 for the first time in 11 years and attracted a record number of fans to their Central Park concert?
That would be Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel.
It would indeed. And I have no idea what that question is doing in this set.
Objection. This is a bit odd, yeah. But I'll take it.
Where is that park located again?
Central Park, Birmingham.
Yeah. Okay.
Now that
makes sense now.
That's Cannon Hill. I grew up with it.
That's it. That's a start that I'm liking. Oh, I got a one. Okay, so we're off to orange. Sporting
not so good.
Moments.
Oh, no. Okay.
And it all came crashing down.
Well, you know, that's the general reaction when we get sport in any edition of Triv, isn't it?
Manchester United.
Hang on a second. Hold that thought. Who scored 405 in a single innings while playing for Worcestershire in 1988?
I totally should have quizzed Stephen on cricket stuff before he left.
Is that a spoiler for what sport is being described there?
No, whoops.
I don't think that's going to help.
Okay, because I
Paul
didn't know that.
Hamptonsfordshire.
Well done. No, it's a guy called Graham Hick, who I've never heard of. I've heard
Graham.
Of many cricketers from the UK in the 1980s, and that is not one of them. So,
Now, was he a beater or a bludger?
Jeez.
How dare you?
That's a very personal question.
Yeah.
That's offensive.
Monty.
I have also rolled a six. I like Steve's strategy. I will also be going to music and music makers, as it appears the national boundaries are a little relaxed in this category.
Music is universal, man.
Okay. Though the irony. What did the title of Paul Hardcastle's 19 refer to?
Oh, that's the average age of the soldiers in Vietnam.
Everybody's replaying it in their head now, going, the average age of the combat soldier? Yep. Yes, it was indeed.
Wow, very good.
He's pretty clear about that, I feel like. He says it a billion times.
No, 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 19.
Now, unlike Steve, I rolled a 6, so I will get to choose between news and views and living in the 80s.
And we get to watch Monty gaming the board, as always.
I choose to live in the 80s.
Which 1986 movie was based on a convertible Hasbro toy launched in 1984?
Transformers.
Yes.
Wow.
As a former Hasbro employee.
You're disqualified immediately.
Recuse yourself.
How many convertible toys were there in 1984?
There was the GoBots.
GoBots? Were GoBots out? Or was that 1985?
GoBots predated Transformers.
I've rolled a 2, and I would like another living in the 80s question, please.
Which was the listening bank? This is a very 80s question. Very British question.
Which was the listening bank?
Pronouns make no sense within the context of this.
I understand this.
I believe I have parsed the question in that there are a number of banks which I can be expected to recall instantly, and one of them declared itself to be the listening bank.
That is correct.
Yes, but which one?
The Bank of England.
No.
You've got a Bank of America. I don't know.
The Bank of England doesn't actually have a high street presence. It's not a retail bank.
It doesn't mean they're not listening. They're listening to you right now.
This is true. No, it was it was the Midland Bank.
Okay.
It
was their advertising campaign slogan, throughout the 80s.
It is my turn, and I got a 4. Let's see. So I'm a ringer because I'm professionally British. I wrote for The Economist for several years, and I had to learn words like jiggery pokery, but I don't actually know anything about England, Scotland, Northern Ireland, or Wales, so that's a problem.
You know at least enough to say Northern Ireland rather than just Ireland, so well done.
That's true. All right, I'm going
to... maybe your awareness of the meaning of the word ringer is also a bit suspect.
Ringer star? I am going to go news and views, thank you.
Which London hotel was purchased by the Sultan of Brunei?
The Mayfair?
No, it was the Dorchester. Good guess.
The Mayfair is actually a hotel in London, however.
Yes, it is, yes.
Don't I get points for that? Sorry, all right.
No. Good Lord. So, Tony, it is your turn.
I should probably roll a die. Is that traditional?
Yes, you should.
All right.
It's the generally accepted fashion.
One. All right. Let's go for orange.
All right. Stand by. In the grand tradition of first questions in this game, which Spaniard was the only person to win the US Masters twice in the 1980s?
Okay. The US Masters is probably golf. And I do not know the name of any Spanish golf players. So, pass.
Sebi Ballesteros?
Yes, it was indeed Ballesteros, yes.
Wow.
Which you pronounced much better than me.
It's gonna be a lot of this. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Just warming up.
You got this. You got this. Erica.
I rolled a 2. I'm leapfrogging Tony and going for entertainment.
Oh, good move.
Hey, that's a little mean.
Entertainment.
I'm skipping Tony because I want entertainment.
Okay. Erica, you
please
may...
Please be a Doctor Who question. Please
no,
be a Doctor Who question.
But you may know this one. You may know this one.
I hate when you say that, Anthony. I hate it so bad.
No pressure. Which Dennis Potter TV series featured a character who suffered from psoriasis?
Oh.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks.
I hate it when Glenn does that.
Oh!
I've heard the name Dennis Potter. I can't put a face to that name. Let's see. Psoriasis, eh?
Mm. Heartbreaking.
Yeah. Are you being served? I don't know.
No, it's not. Are you being served? Dennis Potter is a playwright. He was the writer. It starred Michael Gambon. Oh. It was called The Singing Detective.
Oh, I have heard of that show. So there's something.
See? Steve.
All
Steve,
right.
Please.
I got a 3. We'll go with news and views.
Yeah, okay. What word completed the Sun headline, Freddie Starr ate my blank?
Freddie Starr ate my blank?
Yep.
What is this, a match game?
Richard, my homework?
No, it was... And any Brit will know this. This has become such an iconic, famous headline. Hamster.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Whoa.
Yeah. No, please don't. I don't want to know any hamster culture.
Can you explain all of your culture to us now?
It was, similar to the urban legend about Ozzy Osbourne biting the head off a bat. There was a similar thing about Freddie Starr, who's a comedian, eating somebody's hamster.
My goodness.
I believe Ozzy actually did bite the head off a bat, though.
No, he didn't. It's an urban legend.
All right, while this has been going on, I've been doing many roll agains and have ended up on entertainment, please.
Entertain us, please.
Indeed, indeed. Whose secret diary became a TV obsession? Secret diary there is in italics.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of answers that could apply to this, actually. So I'm going to give an answer that I don't think is correct for this edition of the game, but is correct if there was a UK Trivial Pursuit now, and I will say a call girl.
No, that didn't exist in the 1980s.
I realize that.
No. It's Adrian Mole. The Sue Townsend books? I'm not sure if they made it across the pond, as it were.
Never heard of them.
No, they were big sort of Harry Potter style phenomenon.
Oh,
with school kids. It was Secret Diary of Adrian Mole, aged 13 3/4, I believe, was the first.
Oh, yeah. That's I've read those.
Oh, there you go.
I'm on blue. News and views, please.
News and views.
It's better than music and music makers for me. So,
which world leader was discovered to be using his wife's astrologer for advice on major issues?
That would be Ronald Reagan.
Come yes, on. It would. Oh, yeah, well done.
More of this great UK trivia.
I'm going to take a risk here and go to entertainment. Pink, please.
All right. Yes, pink. Entertainment. What, in 1989, scratched up a record as Britain's longest-running musical when its 3,358th performance took place?
Can you read the first part of it? I'm not sure I'm parsing that right.
I can. Remember, you have to answer in the form of a question.
Yes.
What, in 1989, scratched up a record?
Oh, I've got
You don't have to repeat it.
It's Cats. As Cats.
Yes, it is.
I wasn't sure if it was saying which musical was beaten or not. I thought it was Cats. It's always Cats. All right. Let's do I've Landed on a Wedge. Let's do Sporting Moments.
Which cricketer's brother...
Wow. It's Graham. What's his name's brother?
Good. This could be good. It's the brother. It's not
it's
the cricketer.
Perfect question.
Oh, it's Glennon. It's great. It's Glennon.
Could be which cricketer's brother was president of the United States.
But is it his brother or his brother's mailman?
Oh, dear. Which cricketer's brother... That's the entire question. No. Which cricketer's brother played for Brighton in the 1983 FA Cup final?
Which year?
1983.
Oh, come on, Glenn. Does that really make any difference?
It was
basically take a guess of a famous British cricketer.
Philip
or
Forceps.
Even a not famous one based on the last cricket question.
I'm saying Philip Forceps.
I'm sorry, did you say forceps?
Yes.
Neither do I.
I didn't before, but I understand it less now.
I don't understand Philip what's going on
Forceps.
Anymore.
I just made a good name.
Philip Forceps. That makes everything okay then. It was Mike Gatting's brother.
Of course.
I'm pretty sure that Mike Gatting was the answer to a question in the previous games.
All right. Three. I am on blue, which is news and views. Yay. I have views. Maybe
make
I will
up your mind.
Question. Yeah.
Indeed.
What's my favorite color?
Okay. Tony, who finally became president of France at his third attempt in 1981?
I have no idea.
Okay. The answer is François Mitterrand, who was indeed president of France for much of the 1980s. Erica, is that a roll
She's
again?
She's rolling around.
Yeah.
She's counting.
I am going to go to entertainment once again. Because at least there are names I've heard of in that category sometimes.
Erica, which, this is so ironic, which drama about a not-so-good-looking girl won a 1986 BAFTA award in competition with The Singing Detective?
What? Are all of the entertainment questions I get going to be related to The Singing Detective?
They're all those
so far.
About a not-good-looking girl?
Drama about a not-so-good-looking girl won a 1986 BAFTA award.
I have a thought, but I don't know that I actually know the name quite right. Franny Plain and Tall, is that a thing?
Well, it may be a thing, but it's not.
But that's not the answer.
It's not the answer.
All right.
I think she's thinking of Sarah Plain and Tall.
Yep, I was.
Right. No, the answer is The Life and Loves of a She-Devil.
Okay, that old thing.
Oh,
well, again, over here it was quite well known. It's based on a novel by Faye Weldon.
I've heard of that, but I did not.
I was going to say she's a very famous novelist. And starred Judith Wallace, and it was
a
big thing.
I disagree.
Oh, him!
It was a big thing.
Mm. I don't know any of these people.
I've actually just looked it up, and there was in fact. A Hollywood 1989 adaptation simply called She-Devil starring Roseanne Barr.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. See, that I remember.
And Meryl Streep.
Wow.
Meryl Streep is the other.
Indeed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Wow.
Meanwhile, I've just landed myself on a wedge space in People and Personalities, the Brown category.
So, which magazine editor said, "If this is justice, I'm a banana," after a jury awarded Sonia Sutcliffe £600,000 damages for libel?
Which magazine editor?
Yes. Said, "If this is justice, I'm a banana."
Mike Gatting.
Love it.
Oh, of Cricketers Weekly. No. It was Ian Hislop. The magazine was Private Eye.
Oh,
Ian Hislop of Private Eye.
Is Private Eye? Surely you must have heard of Private Eye over there.
I only know about Private Eye because I believe Terry Gilliam did a pictorial for it, which led to the rest of Monty Python hearing of him.
Ah.
That's entirely possible. Yeah, it was started by Peter Cook.
Yeah.
Oh.
I have landed on Brown, and I would like my own People and Personalities question, please.
All right. Monty, what brought world fame to Dan Rowan, who died in 1987?
Can you spell the last name?
I can. I may well be mispronouncing it. It's entirely possible. Dan, I'm saying Rowan. R-O-W-A-N.
Was he the co-creator of Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In?
He was indeed.
Nice.
Well done.
Wow.
I have stampeded over to the right side of the board and like a living in the 80s wedge question, please.
Oh, okay.
Living in the 80s.
What footwear, first introduced in 1945, became a fashion statement in the 1980s?
Well, here's where I'm at. I've got an answer that's nearly correct.
God.
It may not actually be footwear, but having lived through the 1980s, I can't think of anything else that counts as particularly 1980s footwear. So I'm going to say leg warmers.
It's a good answer, but it's wrong.
I know that.
It's not even close, I'm afraid. No, but it is a good answer. But the actual answer is Dr. Martens.
Doc Martens.
Oh, yeah. Martens.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Music makers, please, for the lose.
Every move.
All right, Glenn, some pop culture for you. Which hit tells the story of a woman who supposedly claims Michael Jackson is the father of her illegitimate child?
God. How come is this UK trivia?
Billie Jean.
Fairly obscure song.
Oh, man.
But it's the only thing that I could possibly have known. I don't know any of that stuff. Sorry.
Okay.
Green is an easy category. I'm just
have you
say
heard
it.
Even one song in the 1980s? Yes, it was Billie Jean. Well done.
I'm going to Pink, which is really Pink. This is really Pink I'm on, right? It's not another color?
Yes, it is.
All right,
yes,
I'm going with Pink. And the question better be about Pink, also, the performer.
The question is not about Pink.
Okay.
That's entertainment.
It kind of could be.
Yeah.
I feel cruel asking you this one. If you get this, I will be so impressed.
Okay.
What was the adult version of Tiz Was?
Oh.
Tiswas.
Wow. Which, to know the answer to that, you first have to actually know what Tiz was.
Weren't won't.
Mm-hmm. The adult, what was the adult version of Tiz
of Tiz was?
Is this
is that two words, Tiz was?
No, one word. Oh, all capitals. It was an acronym.
Is this game family friendly? What's going on? So
the adult version was, that was the week that was.
A good answer, but wrong. Let me explain that Tiz was stood for Today is Saturday, Watch and Smile.
Ah.
It was an anarchic Saturday morning kids show, which we had tradition of here in the UK. And then the same cast, produced basically, a sort of adult version, i.e. the same thing, but with nude people and lots of filthy jokes. On a Saturday evening, might have been Sunday evening, called OTT for Over the Top.
Oh.
Because it was very over the top for its time.
Sounds great.
It was.
My children are routinely surprised and even slightly appalled about the amount of nudity in Monty Python. And we explain this was on broadcast television, and they do not understand how that's possible.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand how it's possible.
They're more prudish than we are.
Well, but they broadcast it unedited on PBS. I remember it clearly.
That's true.
I was surprised when I watched it. Over and over
It's culture
again.
When it's on PBS.
Tony, you're up.
I've rolled a 4, so I can finally get out of here and go
Welcome
to...
Welcome to the edge of the board.
Roll again.
Roll again.
My longest turn yet.
Try for
and I could go to Pink, which is entertainment, or I could try for Yellow, Living in the 80s.
Do it.
For a wedge. I technically was alive for part of the 80s, so let's see how this goes.
All right.
My goal in this game is to say something so useful and naive that it kills somebody else.
Tony, are you ready?
No, but don't wait for me.
Is your body ready? How many squares made up one face of a Rubik's Cube?
Oh, come on.
Very
nice.
I actually almost got that wrong because I started thinking about how many sides does a Rubik's Cube have, and I was just like, is that just a trick for how many sides does a cube have in the 80s? But how many squares is on
geometry
a Rubik's Cube?
Geometry was different then.
This is before the Rubik's Cube came out and changed everything.
No, this, guys, this
That's
is
how
like,
we ended up with the D10.
Guys, I'm going to get a high score here, because a high score for Tony, which will be a point, which I'm totally talking up now before I've gotten it. I am going to say... There's 9 little squares on a Rubik's Cube, because I actually had a Rubik's Cube in the 80s when I was a small child.
And you are correct.
Yay. Oh,
this, oh wow.
Suddenly it doesn't seem so cool to have a wedge.
Yeah, they're just giving these things
Wait,
out.
Just checking. Am I currently tied for numbers of wedges?
Yes, you are. You're tied first place.
Oh, wow. You're just like,
suddenly
you're a
this
shark.
Game. You know what? I was really impressed with all of you people until now.
Would you like to quit while you're ahead?
I realize that I'm talking on my turn, and that doesn't feel as good as talking on other people's turn, so I'll roll a die.
Would you like double or nothing? 4.
So I could either go for Pink. I apologize. I don't have the board mapped out in my head. Or Sporting Moments. We've seen how that goes. Pink it is, which I know
now
is
you want to win.
See, now he gets a wedge, and now he's full of ambition.
Yeah, I
it's
don't
gonna
see
be something related to the singing detective, though. I'm warning you.
What could go wrong? This is all going to come crashing down on me.
Okay, so your entertainment question is, why was the musical Cabaret performed without music at London's Strand Theatre on several occasions during 1987?
Why? That seems like it's open to interpretation.
because why? The hell with Fred Kander, that's why.
I'm trying to think about what I know about London in 1987, and most of what I know about 1987 is limited to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, so that's not going great.
Were you alive in 1987?
I was alive. I was very young.
Good stuff.
He was a man barely alive.
Wow, I really don't know. Presumably there was not some secret war that I don't know about in 1987. I feel like I should have a funny joke answer, and I don't.
This is no joking matter.
What? Oh, well, now then I'm not going to say anything, so I don't want to offend anyone.
No,
I'm done.
I'm joking. It really is.
For artistic reasons that I won't specify.
I like it.
You said why? That's very open-ended.
Seems like bad question format.
Well, but the answer is quite definitive.
Oh, well, that's okay. I'm not going to get it. So right. Tell us.
It was performed without music because the orchestra was on strike.
That would have been my guess.
That's a pretty good answer.
So they just did the show anyway? That's crazy.
Yes, it is.
Show must go on, Monty. Haven't you ever heard that? I am going to try people and personalities. Give me a brown.
It's Dennis
Only
Potter.
Because that sounds better than living in the 80s.
It's Michael Gambit or Dennis Potter is the answer, of course.
Which choreographer who died in 1987? A lot of people died in 1987. That was their 2016. Which choreographer who died in 1987 became the subject of a hit musical in the 1990s?
I'm not even going to waste our time with a guess or thinking about this because I don't know choreographers. Although I do know that Gates McFadden was the choreographer for Labyrinth, which came out in 1986.
Oh, there you go.
So that's all I got.
She's a Star Trek.
Really?
Thank you.
Although she was credited as Cheryl McFadden, not Gates. So there you go. That's your tidbit of knowledge. I know nothing about British choreographers.
How strange. I'd never heard of this person, so I now feel quite ignorant. It's Bob Fosse or Fosse?
Bob Fosse. No!
He's a super famous choreographer.
Why didn't I guess Bob Fosse?
All That Jazz was about him, and that was pre-90s, so I thought that can't possibly be.
No, no. All That Jazz was, what?
It was going to be Bob Fosse or Tommy Toon or Busby Berkeley as the only three famous choreographers.
Choreographers, yeah. I was not thinking about Hollywood. I should have been.
All right, I'm moving. I'm on the move. Plum is on the move.
Moving.
Oh, no, not that way. Not Sporting Moments.
Oh, no.
No, Pink, that's entertainment. A police car and a screaming siren. Let's go.
Whose 1980s ratings made him by far the most successful magician on British television?
Ooh, I
praise indeed.
Deep competition.
1980s.
This really isn't a deep cut. If you're
just in Medfield.
No.
Oh.
Jonathan Creek.
I just imagine somebody yelling, "I'll have you know, I was the most popular magician in the 1980s on British television."
He really was a household name, though. Like, his TV show ran for years and years.
What's that?
His name was Paul Daniels, and he died last year, I think.
Never heard of him. He must be like
our Doug Henning. Let's go.
He must be like our Doug Henning, right?
Kind of. Doug Henning was on the Paul Daniels Magic Show, actually, I remember.
Everything's possible in the world of magic.
Right. Paul Daniels was an enormously successful sort of light entertainer and incredibly accomplished magician who had, Saturday night primetime show for years.
Fascinating.
I rolled a 3 and would like a music question, please.
The easy ones.
That's right.
Which single featuring George Michael prevented Wham from reaching number one with Last Christmas in 1984?
I'm actually questioning myself. It's obviously one of two. I'm just going to say We Are the World.
No,
it's Do They Know It's Christmas. Of course, yes, it was. It's at Christmas. I should have realized that.
And We Are the World didn't have George Michael on it.
Well, I can't remember everybody that was on it.
No. I have landed on people and personalities, please.
Okay. Glenn, what name did comedian Matt Frewer adopt after seeing a sign on a bridge?
Ooh.
Max Headroom.
Yes, well done.
It's not he didn't adopt it, though. His character.
No, he's an actor who played the role of
Boy, if I'd done that wrong, Edison? Jason would have kicked me off the Incomparable, I have a feeling.
Probably.
All right, I got to go for a wedge. I'm going for news and views, please.
It makes you question the one about Mike Gatting's brother, doesn't it?
Exactly. Marvelous.
Glenn, what was, this is blue, yeah, right, for a wedge, what was the Sun's tasteful one-word headline to mourn the hundreds who died on the General Belgrano?
This pricks at some little bit of my consciousness about a terrible, and I think I just read about it because of a UKIP politician or something. No, it wasn't the General Belgrano. What was it? Is it, was it, oh, I don't know. I'm going to say hooligans.
Good guess. I think you are actually thinking along the wrong lines, because the Belgrano was an Argentinian cruiser that was sunk during the Falklands.
Right, okay.
And so the tasteful part of that question is sarcastic, because the headline was "Gotcha," complete with an exclamation mark.
Oof.
All right, so who's up? That would be Tony. Me. Yes.
All right, I'm on green. Music and music makers.
Oh, okay. Who co-wrote "We Are the World" with Lionel Richie?
So the secret about Tony that all of you are going to learn is that Tony knows about as much about music as he knows about sports. Which is, I have no idea.
Oh, Tony, come on, take a stab. Go on.
No, I have no idea. I really don't. Sorry. Music, it's like sports, but with your mouth.
There may have already been some mention of that particular.
Bob, wasn't Bob Geldof? It was George Michaels,
no.
Right?
No.
Bob Geldof?
No, it was Michael Jackson.
Michael
Jackson,
sure.
See? I like this. Now, yeah, everybody else pitches.
I thought Glenn knows is Billie Jean.
I thought you just said the name in a previous round. That's why I was confused about Bob Geldof.
No, we mentioned We Are the World.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, not, we were talking about who wrote Do They Know It's Christmas, not who wrote We Are the World. Suspiciously similar, though, the two projects are.
Now I understand.
All right, I've moved to pink, which is entertainment, and if I get it right,
it's a wedge.
I will get. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen because I'm fresh out of singing detective trivia. But
well, you say that, but
no.
Oh boy,
which James Bond movie saw a Renault taxi descending stone stairs in Paris?
I am a noted non-fan of the James Bond.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
But I still feel like you probably could pull a title.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's plenty of titles that I would know. Okay, so this is probably around the 80s, except now I'm realizing I know lots of titles. I don't actually know which James Bond was in most of them.
I like how you work backward for probably in the 80s, as the 80s is in the name of the board game we were playing. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I am going to say his... You Only Live Twice? Is that a James Bond movie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, that's not a 1980s James Bond movie, no.
Uh-huh.
The answer was A View to a Kill.
Oh, see, I should have gone for the one with the Duran Duran theme song.
Yeah,
I wasn't thinking.
Right, it's definitely 80s because of the song, sure.
Yep.
Oh, well.
All right, I'm ready for a living in the 80s question.
I'm not sure you are.
Eye to eye, station to station. Let's go.
What was the subject of the 1980s advertising campaign "Don't Die of Ignorance"?
What was the subject of the 1980s advertising campaign "Don't Die of Ignorance"?
That is correct. That is what I said.
Drug abuse?
No, it was AIDS.
Yeah. Rat farts.
I have gone through a roll again and then ended up here on the living in the 80s wedge spot.
Oh my God.
Man.
That's right.
It's a popular destination.
All right, Monty. For a wedge, which duo were pictured on the cover of the July 1986 congratulations issue of Radio Times?
So all I need to do is think of who deserved congratulations as a duo in July 1986.
The Radio Times was originally the official BBC listings for all their radio stuff, you know, decades old, and then it started incorporating TV and what have you. But back in the 80s, there were two magazines. There was the Radio Times that listed the BBC channels and BBC Radio, and the TV Times, which listed ITV, which was the independent commercial network, and commercial radio around the country. That won't help you answer the question.
No, it won't. So I'm going to say
that won't help me in any way.
But now this podcast meets the minimum threshold to be educational. and
now the government is willing to pay for it. So
I think we now qualify for an Arts Council grant. Yeah,
that's right.
I'm going to say John Steed and Emma Peel.
Oh, bless you. That's a really good answer, but it's wrong.
They may well have been on the Radio Times cover at some point.
Oh, I'm sure they were.
A couple
yes,
decades but no, off, but...
This particular issue was Prince Andrew and Sarah Ferguson.
Oh, I thought it might be a royal,
sure.
But...
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Probably got married around then sometime.
Yep,
living in the 80s.
Possibly in that
and
year,
the wedding
right?
was televised.
Yeah. Let's see here.
by the BBC, of course, because we didn't want any nasty commercials interrupting a royal wedding.
I am going to...
And don't blink during them. If you blink during the wedding, that's treason.
I'm going to...
get hanged.
Just wait till the Queen dies. We won't hear from our UK friends for weeks. They shut off the internet. I'm going to yellow, living in the 80s.
What refreshed the parts that other lagers couldn't reach?
Oh.
What refreshed the parts other lagers couldn't reach? Let's see. I'm going to come up with something that sounds plausible as if I knew something, so it doesn't sound like I just made something up. Oh, wait, I've just undermined myself.
My strategy.
I'm seeking my internal monologue.
You said
now.
That out loud.
Mistake. Yeah. I'm going to
say.
You
have an internal monologue, too?
Wow. Oh, Monty, you got to be careful. He's in the same state as you.
I know where you live now.
Nobody's in the same state as Glenn.
I know where Monty's Zeppelin landed. I'm going to say Budminster. I have no idea.
Budminster? It's my favorite
beer.
That
sounds terrible.
No, it was Heineken.
Oh yes. My God, no!
That's
no.
Dutch. And you've just ruined one of my advertising slogan questions for a future alone.
Oh, really?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's blame all right.
Tony, you're up. Save us all.
How do I get out of where I am? Oh, if I go to two.
Well, that's a deep question. Beyond the scope of this game.
Just hang up on Skype. I think that'll be a good start.
I think I'm still stuck in music and music makers, which is not my strength. So let's see how we do.
All right, Tony, which band's song? Which band's song Drive was used as the Live Aid theme and went on to raise over £160,000 for charities?
I feel like I should be able to at least guess at something here.
In the 80s?
But I definitely do not know the answer.
Right.
Yes, not that one. The other one.
I will go with the Commodores.
It's the Cars.
Oh.
Wow. That's, I
really?
Mean, I wasn't going to get that.
Yeah. But.
Who's going to drive your car tonight?
Yep.
All right. I have moved to...
Are the Cars from the UK or just they were
no,
popular in the
they're
UK?
From Boston. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. No.
They pioneered a particular kind of green screen music video that just ruined videos for like 8 months.
Tony, I think Tony has to leave the state now.
Oh, well, yeah.
I'm on people and personalities, so...
Yes, you are.
Brown.
That sounded less easier than I suspect it was intended to.
It was better than Sporting Moments, which was my other choice. Although maybe I should have gone for it because I know the name of one cricketer. Maybe two.
I've already forgotten them.
All right. Erica, in which city did the Ayatollah Khomeini suffer, in quotes, his 10 years of exile?
I genuinely do not know. So I will say Brussels.
Close. It was Paris.
Oh, man.
Rolling. Oh, it's time for another attempt at a brown wedge.
Brown. People and personalities again.
Hit me.
Who won the Booker Prize for his Rites of Passage? Rites of Passage is the title. Would you like some salad?
You're not helping. Rites of passage, rites of passage. Why does that stick in my brain so?
Because it won the Booker Prize.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. Yes, it's my deep knowledge of Booker Prize winners of the past.
If only you'd read that one column more to see the authors. Unfortunately, he only knows the title of everyone.
Charlie Brooker. Because it sounds like Booker.
Charlie Brooker's my age. He was... never mind. No, it's William Golding.
Oh.
Oh, I've heard of him.
Oh,
I've actually read that book.
Because he's a Booker-winning author.
Yep, I've read the book. It's not bad.
Oh, there you go.
I didn't know he wrote anything besides the one with the kids.
I would also like a people and personalities question, please. An easier one, if you have that.
Actually, yes, this is possibly a bit easier. What did Steve McQueen describe as his other great passion after acting?
Motorcycles, I would think.
No.
That would have been my guess.
It was cars.
Oh.
What? A car is... A motorcycle is like a car. It's small.
No, he...
Yeah,
he's probably one of those
guys, familiar with,
like,
our American aphorisms for things.
Yeah, he probably had race cars and stuff. I picture him and Newman doing that.
Newman. I am not going back to sports at this moment, so I'm going to go to Pink Entertainment. Please.
All right. Glenn, you're probably the only person out of this group who I think might get this.
That took a turn towards the end.
Not what I was expecting. Jiggery pokery.
What was A-Team member B.A. Baracus's worst fear?
Damn it, I watched that show.
See? Me too.
I didn't know that.
His worst fear.
Did I call it or what?
Damn it.
I've never seen that show, but I know this.
Thinking back.
I think I only know it from people on The Incomparable talking about it around podcasts.
That'll do. Yeah. You get a certain exposure to a certain realm of culture.
I watched the whole series. I know that show. I know the show. Why don't I remember
what? How is that?
It came up in every episode.
It came up in every episode?
Right. No more nudging.
God damn it.
Glenn, the entire internet is currently screaming at their podcast player.
I know. I'm trying to think. I remember. I know he's Mr. T. I know his show. Right, I watch the show. I have so much trivia in my head about television shows, and yet a show I watched that I remember, I can't remember this detail that was apparently in every episode. Look, Jan-Michael Vincent played the cello. He played it badly, but he played the cello.
Listeners. By knowing the answer to this question that Glenn does not, technically, by Highlander rules, you are all now 2 times winners of Jeopardy. That's just how it works. Congratulations, your certificates
wasn't afraid
are
of gold,
in the mail.
I'm sure that. Oh, God, I was going to say he was afraid of guns. I don't know. He's
put it
guns
on my CV.
Can I answer it? Because I never get to answer a question correctly.
Somebody answer.
Hey, you got a piece of pie.
Oh, okay.
Not Eric,
are you giving up, Glenn?
I said guns. I don't remember.
Guns. You ain't put me on no plane, Hannibal.
Oh,
he was afraid of
also,
flying.
They drove around.
Also,
why
presumably
would they fly?
He develops a latent fear of like milk because they're always because they're always putting drugs in his beverages in order to get.
I didn't remember the flying thing. I did not remember the flying thing.
Does a body
yeah,
good?
But over years,
man,
I feel like
I can tell you.
You he's gonna have a secondary fear. Of
I that. Can tell you so much about Airwolf, but I couldn't remember that.
You know what?
That
no
may
one
well come up
Airwolf
in another question. A watch it. I will not hear a bad word said about Airwolf. Tony, please. It's your go.
Brown, which is people and personalities.
All right. What did it take Kay Cottee 6 months to become the first woman to achieve?
What?
What did it take Kay Cottee 6 months to become the first woman to achieve?
I don't know who that is. I presume if I did know who it is, that question would be a lot easier.
They generally are.
Okay, in the 80s, that you can do in 6 months. That seems like not a long amount of time.
Well, on the other hand, if you're running 100 meters hurdles, it's an exceedingly long time.
You're crossing the
That's
crossing
very,
English,
very good point.
You're crossing the English
running
channel.
Running is a questionable verb. There.
You're smelling across the English channel in 6 months.
How about solo navigating the world in a boat? How's that? That's
that
something that 6 months.
That is entirely correct.
Yes! Oh,
right! Tony!
Nice work. Had anyone else ever heard of this person? Because I had not.
Well done.
I will go to Orange, and this is where it all comes together, people.
It's all gone to his head.
Sporting He's going moments. For a wedge in sporting moments.
Oh, my goodness. Who won the World Professional Darts Championship 5 times
yes!
in the 1980s?
Yes!
Andy, I'm just checking. Do you know who this is?
I do, actually, yes. He really
okay.
was famous, yeah.
Well, he sounds pretty
in the
good.
UK.
Gary
you win,
Marshall.
You win the world championship of anything 5 times in the space of 10 years, you're going to be pretty famous.
Yeah.
Yeah, but darts? Oh, sorry, noted dart players. I do not know. I guess the fake name, Gary Marshall.
It was Eric Bristow.
Did not know that. Oh, well.
Well, speaking of wedges, I have landed on the green wedge space. So please read me a music and music makers.
Please, Mr. question. Music, will you play?
All right. Erica, who played Coco Hernandez in Fame and had a number one hit with a record of that same title?
I genuinely don't know. So I'm not even, again, ouch, not going to waste time guessing. Just tell us who it is. Or
it was
Steve
Irene Cara.
Yes, it was Irene
Cara.
I couldn't remember her name, but okay. I used to watch that show. It was great.
Remember?
Well, this is from the movie.
I like the show, but remember? I was young enough to not grab names at that time. So, yep. I'm done.
It's Mr. Lutz's turn. There he is. No?
Oh, boy. Let's see what happens.
Magic.
Five.
Magic happens.
Oh, hey, sporting moments for
Yay,
the wedge.
All right.
Yes.
I have a suspicion Steve may be about to go into the lead.
Oh dear. That
this
wait,
person
right.
won 6 dart championships.
Wow.
Steve, for a wedge, which uh-huh. Hollywood actress topped the charts with her aerobic videos?
Oh,
Jane Fonda?
Correct.
Very sporting
I used to do
question.
Those with my mom.
Really?
Yep. We had several.
All right, yellow for a wedge, please.
Living in the 80s.
Do we need to point out that Steve is within striking distance and you should ask him a really hard, mean question? You want to look through a couple cards, get a good one? That's how this game works, right?
Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah.
That's the voice of a dungeon master back there.
Yeah. Oh, no, I totally rolled a critical hit. Mm-hmm. How many years to the day after Yuri Gagarin's first space flight did the shuttle make its maiden flight?
How many years to the day from Gagarin to the shuttle? Oh, geez. I'm going to say 16.
That's too many, isn't it?
No, not enough.
Oh, okay.
It was 20 years.
Wow. All right, no wedge for me.
Fair enough.
Except that other one you got.
Not that Monty's bitter at all.
No, didn't sound like it at all.
I am committed to proper positional play in the game of Trivial Pursuit.
Proper positional play.
I therefore go to the orange square, which is sporting moments, rather than the blue square, which is news and views.
And why is that proper positional play?
Because if you're on either of the inner two spots here, whatever you roll 1 through 6 will get you either a roll again or a wedge spot. But if you're on one of the outer spots, rolling a 2 forces you to answer another question. I think rolling a 5 does 2.
Didn't understand any of that, so that's great.
No one wants to talk about Trivial Pursuit positional strategy.
No, because I don't want to let other people in on it.
All right, so sporting moments. Which boxer was the BBC Sports Personality of the Year in 1985?
Ken Norton.
No. Is that a boxer?
It is, yes.
I've never heard of him.
Sorry. No, I've probably never. Go ahead.
Sorry?
I'm waiting for you to say your guy so I can say I've never heard of him.
It was Barry McGuigan.
Never heard of him.
Barry McGuigan? Of course.
I should have said someone more 1980s, low, like Marvin Hagler or something. All right, I'm done.
Barry McGuigan was, yeah, very well known in the UK. It's not, you know, it's not an unfair question. Glenn, you're up. Where are you?
I think I'm going to go for living in the 80s as a better option than entertainment.
All right. Glenn, who was by far... They like that phrase in this game, don't they? By far. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who was by far the hungriest arcade game character of the 80s?
Would that be Pac-Man?
Yes, it was Pac-Man. Okay. Of course it was bloody Pac-Man.
Yeah, what about Ms. Pac-Man?
Well, I think that's the episode.
Yeah.
I think that's the episode title. Of course it was bloody Pac-Man. I don't know if there's you ever top that.
I mean,
what about Ms. Pac-Man?
Yeah, she ate exactly the same amount as him.
Hit me with blue.
She was slower.
She didn't want it as much.
She wasn't around for as long, so her total consumption couldn't have been as much.
Blue, what about the never explained what time. Dig Dug was doing with all that dirt that he tunneled through? He might well have been eating that.
Yeah.
Blue wedge.
Also,
getting serious. Glenn, Which country elected Bettino Craxi its first socialist premier in 1983?
Italy.
Correct.
Thank you. I get away.
Bettino Craxi?
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah. Bettino Craxi.
Where See, I did have a feeling Glenn might know that one.
Yeah, Jeopardy Glenn has awoken everybody. Hide.
Glenn, give yourself a wedge and go again.
I have to. Monty, I gave myself a wedge. All right, I'm going for pink this time.
All right, Glenn, what did Maureen Lipman advertise with Lionel Haft, who is 3 years older than she is, but he was playing her son?
What do they advertise? I'm trying to figure out if I gave a generic answer or a brand name, if I could possibly get it right.
Honestly, at this stage, if you just get the product, you know, I'll...
I'm going to say tea. Tea. It's tea.
No, it was British Telecom.
Oh, okay. Well, I wouldn't have got that, so that's good.
Tony, you're up.
All right. One more time.
Yes.
Sporting moments.
Yeah.
Why am I on this section of the board all the time? Why not keep moving?
All right, Tony, for a wedge, to which Canadian did judges of the Jesse Owens International Sportsmanship Award possibly wish they hadn't given the 1988 title?
I assume he's a hockey player? I don't know. I do not know any famously unsportsmanlike Canadian athletes.
That's an oxymoron right there. I feel like this question is just based in falsehoods.
No, he's not a hockey player.
Oh, well then, really? Are you sure? It did say Canadian. You might want to double check that.
Monty, did I hear you say you know?
I do know this one, yeah.
Who is it?
Monty, tell us what we
Ben
won.
Johnson, who was stripped of his Olympics awards for the 100 meters, I think, for using steroids.
Yeah, very good.
That is entirely correct.
I remember the event. I couldn't have come up with his name, but yeah.
It was one of the first really big, like, steroid doping scandals, yeah.
I think it's time for me to try living in the 80s.
All right. No. Oh, dear.
That can't be good.
Wow.
Which girly magazine's photo stories, now I'll clarify there, by that they mean magazine for girls.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. Different.
Yes. I'll rephrase it. Which girls' magazine's photo stories featured, and this is why I had to rephrase it, featured George Michael and Tracy Ullman before they were famous?
I'm going to guess 13.
Good guess, but actually it was called My Guy.
Okay. 13 is a real girls' magazine,
yes,
though, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yes! All right. See, I feel like that's a win for me right there.
Yay!
It was a plausible answer, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. It's brown or brown for this guy, so I think I'll go with brown.
Which pop star won a Best Actress Oscar for her role in Moonstruck?
Cher.
Correct. What that has to do with the UK, I have no idea.
Give me a blue news and or views question, please.
All right. What event doubled the UK sale of video recorders in 1981?
1981. Oh, God. What would have been on TV in 1981 that made people want to... Wedding of Charles and Diana?
Yes, well done.
Very nice.
See, I know lots of questions other people are getting, so I'm feeling okay about myself at this point.
I remember from that all of Charles's names, I somehow got stuck in my head, and I'm not going to say them in case it's a question on
this
game.
Didn't they get the order wrong during
the
wedding?
They did, correct. But I'm not going to say them because someone else might get them as a question.
Save it for the after show.
I'm back on brown.
Okay. Which TV and radio interviewer died at the age of 53... after contracting hepatitis?
TV and radio interviewer.
Now, there is a reason that people in the US might have be aware of this person, but I'll be amazed if you know his name.
This isn't the dude that was secretly a pedophile for a lot of years, was it?
Oh, God, no. No,
okay.
Not that we know of.
30 years
later. I'm immediately saying no to that guess because, don't want to besmirch his name with that.
Not a clue.
It was Russell Harty.
Yeah, never would have gotten that.
The reason you guys may be aware of him was that Grace Jones famously slapped him during an interview on his show because he was talking to the other guest.
Who didn't Grace Jones slap in the 80s? Yeah.
She seemed to like Dolph Lundgren okay. I have landed on Pink. I would like entertainment wedge question.
Oh, good Lord. Okay. Monty, for a wedge, which hangover from the 70s, starring Paul Michael Glaser and David Soul, still managed to be big in the 80s TV ratings?
Good God.
Oh, come on.
Really? Sorry, I'm yes, really. I'm having, my mind is only filled with chips right now, and I know it's not chips. Oh, God. I'm not giving up yet. I'm just stalling for a second.
I'm not going to say anything because I'm terrified that I'll give it away if I do.
You'll give it away, yes.
Is it Starsky and Hutch?
Oh, he got it.
Yes.
Oh, damn it.
Very good.
I know what David Soul looks like. I kept thinking, white cop?
Wait, did Monty just win?
I got my second wedge.
Oh, second wedge. I'm sorry.
I've gone up here for a people and personalities question, please.
People and personalities.
Yes, sir.
What did the EEC sell to Russia rather than British pensioners for 6 pence per pound?
Beef.
Butter.
All right. I guess
good guess. Cow-related.
My price is pretty low for beef, I think.
Pretty low for butter, I think.
Yeah.
I guess I got one choice and one choice only, which is to go this way. I'm going to green, music and music makers. As little as I know about the topic, I must take it.
All right. Glenn, music. Mm-hmm. Which duo's cover of Martha and the Vandellas' Dancing in the Street was a huge Live Aid fundraiser?
David Bowie and, for Christ's sake.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God damn it. I can picture the two of them. Paul McCartney and David Bowie? No, wait. It's David Bowie and... damn it, I can picture...
This is delightful.
I can picture them doing it.
I could sort of picture that too, but I don't love the image.
David Bowie and... Oh, God
have
damn
you
it.
Seen the,
I'm just picturing David Bowie's like Zumba pants in the video.
I'm just trying to...
Have you seen the video
person?
Somebody's made of the music video without the music?
Oh, the Rocks video is fantastic.
Great. It's
it's hilarious.
I can see it in my head. David Bowie and where can I picture the other person? It's not Paul McCartney.
It's most definitely not.
No, it's ridiculous. But it's is it Bono? It's not Bono. I mean, it's David Bowie and Bono. I can't remember.
Somebody put him out of his misery.
Please.
Mick Jagger.
And it was an old white guy, and I didn't think it was Bono, but I thought Paul McCartney and Mick Jagger, they're not that dissimilar, except in every way.
All right, Tony, you are on entertainment.
I am on, yes, entertainment.
Entertainment.
All right, this will be entertaining.
Mm.
Who starred on Trick or Treat and was called a prancing poofter by Jimmy Greaves, who then sent him a bunch of red roses?
What?
Question so much.
There's so many things in there that I don't even know.
There's
that
no
we're
part
things.
Of this question that I don't love.
I love that.
I actually remember this happening. This was tabloid headline stuff.
Well, it sounds like this. The person that is named is kind of a jerk.
Who starred on Trick or Treat and was called?
I did not know that was a thing. Yep.
And was called a prancing poofter by Jimmy Greaves, who then sent him a bunch of red roses.
I don't know who Jimmy Greaves is, so that's great. I don't know. Erica, do you know?
I don't.
Okay. Anybody else?
No.
Okay, I feel less bad. did you know, Anthony? You remembered the incident you said?
Yes, I knew, yes.
Tell us about 1980s tabloid.
Jimmy Greaves is an ex-footballer, played for England, and you know, very.
And
famous
you would call football.
What is this football? Is Tony's next
question?
Yeah,
that's some kind of. Thank you.
Footy, we call it.
And Trick or Treat was a game show, I think, hosted by the very camp comedian Julian Clary.
Okay.
Hmm. Oh,
also,
him.
At the start of his career, known as the Joan Collins fan club.
Known as the Joan Collins fan club? Like, he was the fan club?
No, that was his performing title, yeah. Oh. He's still around. He's very, very popular. He's basically a very, very camp comedian who, started his career dressed in rubber and looking like one of the village people and calling himself the Joan Collins fan club.
Is that the Clary referenced in the Blue Tones song? Talking to Clary?
Possibly? I'm not sure. I don't know that
We've
song.
All learned something.
Which village people did he look like?
All of them. No, the cop,
Oh, yeah.
Leather enthusiast.
Yeah.
Well, while you guys were learning that, I rolled and rolled again and ended up in exactly the same spot that I started in, which was living in the 80s, which was not successful last time. Let's hope it's different this time.
Okay. Which lager encouraged drinkers to follow the bear?
Heineken?
Good answer, but no. It was Hofmeister. Their entire campaign,
Hofmeister,
bizarrely, was centered around a guy in a bear outfit, as I recall, a bright yellow jacket, who would lead people to better lager, and he'd take them to a different... He'd go into a pub, take them to a different pub, where they would be given Hofmeister. Go figure.
Is that just Paddington?
Yeah. No, because he was about 6 foot tall.
Okay.
All right. Hit me with an entertainment question, if you please.
All right. How many times a week was The Wogan Show being screened in 1985?
The Wogan Show?
Hey, yes, at least Wogan. I know who that is.
I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Yep.
How many times a week was The Wogan Show being... Well... Three.
Correct. Well guessed.
Yes!
Good work.
Wow. Nice work.
I have landed on a green square and would like a music question and or music makers.
Who was? We can't get away from it. Who was the first person to sing a solo line on We Are the World?
The only thing that happened that decade, apparently.
The first person to sing a solo line?
Yes.
Aren't the verses all solo? Let's do George Michael.
On We Are the World. Didn't we already have this conversation?
I don't know.
Anthony
I don't
says George Michael was not in We Are the World. He was only in Do They Know It's Christmas.
Is it Michael Jackson again?
It was Lionel Richie.
Okay.
It was Lionel Richie.
Sure.
Michael Jackson would have been a...
Take that, Steve.
Made more
Take
sense.
Take that.
Hate that song so much. So
well,
much.
Me too, yeah.
I've ended up over here. I would like a blues news and views.
Blues news. Clues.
What name was given to the Marie Stopes charity, which required couples to donate 25 pence to third world countries every time they made love?
This is going to be something dumb. Probably something that rhymes. The kissing tax.
The thing's a little more than kissing.
Well, I mean, you've got to keep it classy.
No, it was sex aid.
All right.
The clue, I think the cultural disconnect there is that over here, sex toys are often also referred to as sex aids.
Oh.
Whereas in the US, I gather that's not the case. So,
Glenn, get us out of this.
I'm working on it. I'm using numbers now. I'm using numbers, and those numbers take me to living within the period of time that is the 1980s.
All right. What was Gordon Shumway, alien life form, and the last known survivor from the planet Melmac named by the Tanner family?
I feel like I should know this.
Oh,
we all feel that way.
There's a very specific reason why that's true, Glenn.
I couldn't be happier this question ended up in Glenn's lap. I just couldn't be happy.
I'd be happier if it was in my lap, gosh darn it.
You astound me. For such a broadly knowledgeable man, the gaps in your pop culture knowledge are extraordinary.
Oh, they're pretty bad at times. I honestly don't know the answer, and I know I should, so give it to me.
Don't talk yourself out of that one.
Sun Ra.
Wooly! No.
It was Alf.
Alf.
Ah!
I never watched it.
Alien life form.
I never watched it. It stands for the phrase alien life form, which was in the question.
Oh,
and it has always raised the question, why couldn't they just call him Gordon? What kind of jerks are these?
I never watched that show. It seemed too horrible to me. So I didn't even get that.
It actually was pretty damn good, Glenn.
Was it?
I got to tell you.
No, was it really?
Alf was a funny show.
Was it?
It was a funny show.
Oh, my God. It looked so horrible. I don't think I even knew that Alf stood for that. So there you go.
Apparently, the guy who was the puppeteer was an insane control freak. And there are great articles on the internet about his diva behavior.
Interesting.
All right. Tony.
Hi.
Which colorful culture club composition stayed at number one for 6 weeks in 1983 and included Helen Terry as a backing vocalist?
I just want to check. I'm on sports.
All right. So you're on sport, actually.
I am.
How many teams took part in each edition of Sporting Triangles?
What?
Is that a trick question?
Yeah. You started out with how many teams, and I'm like, it's probably an even number. That's usually how things work. And then you ended up the question with triangles.
They're in your head now.
I don't know what a... I will say three, and then you'll tell me about what a sporting triangle is.
Three is correct, and I'm going to have to look at...
Man, that sounded like a trick
sporting
question.
Triangles is. Sporting Triangles, according to Wikipedia, which is never wrong, was a quiz program which tested sports personalities' knowledge of sport. So it was basically the ITV version of A Question of Sport.
Mm-hmm. I feel like there was a little bit of calculus in my head where it's like, do I sound dumber for not saying three or for saying three and getting it wrong?
Captains included Jimmy Greaves.
I can't get anywhere exciting. So, yellow, living in the 80s.
Hold fast, Tony, because you might get this one. What creature gave its shape to the follow-up to the cube?
Oh. What? Wait, what?
What creature gave its shape to the follow-up to the cube, and cube with a capital C?
I think I have to know what cube with a capital C is. And...
Let me take you back to the distant past of about an hour ago.
Okay. No, do not.
I blocked most of that out. I will guess a creature for the sake of guessing a creature, because I can name several creatures that I'm thinking of right now, and the first one that comes to my mind is a rabbit. Is it a snake?
I thought you were going to say bat. It was snake, yes.
Oh, okay. Rubik's Magic Snake!
There's the Rubik's Cube and then Rubik's Magic Snake, which is a little
thing. I did not know
that
was a thing.
I don't know if I've ever seen that, yeah.
Okay, Erica, which TV comedy was based on, quote, a little red history book about Prince Edmund, Duke of Edinburgh?
Blackadder?
Correct.
Yeah, it was.
I got a question right! This is the first question I've gotten right.
Yay! I thought you'd been right before. Well, you've been right about questions that weren't yours. Just
I knew many other people's questions.
Oh dear! All right. Wedge.
Yeah, I've been on a wedge space before. It hasn't gotten me anywhere. So brown, please.
All right. Which great Yorkshire sculptor died in 1986?
One of the many great Yorkshire sculptors.
Well, but that's kind of the thing. There is basically only one.
Well, now there's none, but...
I'm not sad.
I'm going to say Hans Bristerfeld.
And why wouldn't you?
Is Henry Moore.
Oh,
him.
He is a very famous sculptor, yeah. He has a whole outdoor sculpture park dedicated to him in Yorkshire.
All right, where the hell's my piece? There it is. All right, Pink, that's entertainment. A smash of glass and a rumble of boots.
All right, which movie set in Cambodia earned a Best Supporting Actor Oscar for Hang S. Ngur? Which I may well have pronounced wrong.
The Killing Fields?
It was The Killing Fields. Well done.
No clue on the actor, but I remember that movie. All right, I have landed on a yellow, so living in the 80s.
From which book were the 64 inspirational illustrations taken that could be collected by users of Jiffy condoms?
From which book were the 64...
inspirational illustrations taken that could be collected by users of Jiffy condoms?
Oh. This is dirty, Steve. You should be able to get it.
I'm going to have to
throw
the
Kama Sutra out there, because that would be my guess.
Because what else would it be? Yes,
right. Indeed. Okay, then. Ooh, one. That means Brown for a wedge. Could people take and it personalities.
Now. And if you get this, this could be for the win. All right. For a wedge. For your final wedge. What did Svetlana Savitskaya become the first woman to do?
Svetlana Savitskaya.
Her, yeah.
Oh, her.
Successfully land a triple jump in ice skating competition?
Oh, bless you. No, walk in space.
Okay, sure.
She's the first woman to do a spacewalk.
Very similar.
I have daringly walked onto the Sporting Moments wedge square. Steve can do it, I can do it.
Let's see what happens, people.
If I get this, I will have three wedges.
Yay. Indeed.
I will celebrate it.
Run the board, Monty. Okay, who received a record 29 maximum sixes in the 1984 Ice Dance World Championship?
Svetlana.
Following up, five dart championship wins in a row.
Again, to Brits, this is a no-brainer. So, yeah, I just feel bad about this one.
It's 1984.
There's a lot of that in this game.
Yeah. Who received a record 29 maximum sixes in the 1984 Ice Dance World Championships?
The sad part is I should know this. I was watching ice dancing in the 1980s. But
wait, which part of that is sad? That you were watching it?
All of it.
That I can't remember. Like, all I can remember is more recent ice skaters. So I'm going to say Oksana Baiul, and I know that's wrong.
It is wrong. It was Torvill and Dean.
Of course it was Torvill and Dean.
It's always Torvill and Dean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the interest of advancing the game, I'm going to the green wedge in case it is possible I get that.
Logical.
Indeed. Glenn finally understands the purpose of the
trying
game.
Trying to
well
win
done.
An unorthodox strategy.
2.5 hours later, Glenn has sussed out the objective.
This is a winning thing.
Wait. You haven't heard the question yet.
I just give him a wedge. He figured that out.
Glenn, what name was given to the all-star band which recorded We Are the World?
No!
I swear, oh my
god, this is like the question maker's a little obsession. The all-star band that made We Are the World. I wonder if I ever knew that information and I lost it or simply
see some game creators would try and come up with distinct pieces of trivia to write all the different cards.
Here's a hint, Glenn. Those it does not we, involve George Michael.
These people just had the We Are the World single on their desk. And are like, I can get like 30, 40 questions out of this. Easy. Wow.
Let's get an early lunch, guys. Let's not.
That's right.
You know.
Knocked all up. The name for the All-Star Band.
Yes.
It's probably not the We Are the Worldians. That sounds too obvious.
Sounds a bit Jeff Wayne.
Arstall, Rock and Rose. The Global Music
Ringo's
Makers.
Ringo's All-Star Band.
The Global Music Makers.
No, it was USA for Africa.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty terrible name.
Yeah, I can live with that. They raised money. It's good.
Tony, did I just see you land another wedge?
I am on the blue news and views wedge square. How is it still my turn? How are we still playing this game?
You just started. You rolled the die once.
All right.
I don't understand. March. Someone end
it's
me.
It's the death march, yep. Tony. So.
Tony, tell me, from whom did Manchester Police Chief James Anderton announce he received personal assistance?
Oh, that's wonderful. Wonderful question.
Anthony, do you know the answer to this?
I do. Again, this was like tabloid headline, very
famous
stuff. All right,
enlighten us more about 1980s UK tabloid headlines.
I will just remind you of the question before I give you the answer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
From whom did Manchester Police Chief James Anderton announce he received personal assistance? And the answer is God. And I don't mean in a sort of like, you know, oh, I'm a bit Christian me. I mean, he literally claimed that God spoke to him and gave him advice on how to be a copper.
Yeah, but we're all Americans.
Okay. Not to solve a specific mystery.
Half our politicians say that stuff all the time.
Reagan said that.
Yes, I guess that's true.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm hoping that it won't come around to me another turn. So for my last one, entertainment. Read me a pink.
Oh, yes. Which Victoria Wood as seen on TV sketch was loosely based on Crossroads?
Pass.
Yeah, Erica. The
it
Tony
is
strategy.
Pass. Well
yeah.
done.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was called Acorn Antiques. It was,
sure, of course it was.
It was a wonderfully done pastiche and parody of like cheap soap operas. It was very funny.
So
oh, that
Sun Ra, is that what you're saying?
Look it up on YouTube. Seriously, it's really good.
All right, back to living in the 80s for me.
Which innovation did Heinz first offer to British ketchup aficionados in the 1980s?
Heinz innovation.
Ketchup aficionados.
Yeah, I suspect there may be a little bit of sarcasm going on there.
Monty, don't speak ill of ketchup heads. They're organized.
Only thing that I can think of is plastic bottles.
I'll give you that. The squeezable bottle is the answer.
Sure.
Yeah.
Beauty. All right. Hit me with a green. Music and music makers.
Which Frenchman lit up London's Dockland with a concert of lasers, fireworks, and electronic music that attracted in excess of 100,000 people?
Frenchman, fireworks, lasers. Shoot.
Now the internet is screaming at you.
But we aren't.
Yeah, we're
not. Are you okay, Steve?
I am.
I'm quietly whispering under my breath.
You've got the card right in front of you, Anthony. Also, you know all the stuff because you live in the UK. So good for you.
Daniel Lanois.
No, it was Jean-Michel Jarre.
Oh, Jarre. Damn it. Ooh. I knew it was one of the things we talked about in our discussion of music back on the music draft.
London wasn't the only place he did this. Jean-Michel he did it in, Jarre. You know, Houston, Lyon. All over the...
Monty's turn.
I despair.
I've ended up on a living in the 80s.
Living in the 80s. What were blue until the government announced in 1988 that they would be replaced by red ones?
Pounds?
No.
All right.
Here's a hint. Erica went,
Oh, right. Now I get it. Well, I already gave my wrong answer.
Police call boxes. No. Sorry.
Telephone booths.
No. Passports.
Really?
Yeah, passports.
Yes.
What? Really?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. That's why I totally had it wrong.
That's why they're leaving the EU. They want the red passports back. I'm just making that up.
No, the phone boxes were the other way around. We used to have red phone boxes, and then they got rid of those and replaced them with, you know, just generic steel things.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have terrible choices here. Terrible choices. I will take people and personalities, please, for another question about We Are the World.
Who was the last inmate of Spandau Prison?
Oh, Jesus Christ. It's
no, it wasn't him.
Speer. Albert Speer.
Take a moment and think.
Wait, did I say Speer? I said Speer. Oh, wait.
You did. You sounded very emphatic about it.
Mm-hmm.
He did, but he was so excited by the fact that this question is clearly something he feels he should know that I'm willing to let him take a moment, calm down, and try and give me the correct answer.
Damn it. Well, Speer was the
always
architect.
Believe in your soul, Glenn. You've got the power to know.
Speer was the architect of the Third Reich. But who is it who landed a Spandau? It was
don't forget everything that you
this.
Learned about
I
health
learned
today.
This
one piece of advice.
Melmac.
The cat's name was Lucky.
Where's the cat?
Damn it. I appreciate you giving me a chance to not be so excited. Speer was I've forgotten this. The only thing is Hess, and that's not right, is it?
Yes, it is.
Rudolf
Hess, yes. So
here, and then two, and then we're on music and music makers.
All right. Which song made Joe Dolce a one-hit wonder?
Must have been a sweet song if his name was Dolce. I do not know any music, so I am passing. I have no answer for that.
What's the matter, you, Glenn?
Yep. Shut up or your face. Not a nice song at all.
Oh, never have known his name in the world.
You gotta know respect?
It's a bad song.
Yeah. I know the song. I didn't know it was actually a song. I thought it was like a bad
It's terrible. Bit. It's also... actually, no. I was going to give another fact about it, but I better not because that may come up in a question.
Yeah.
All right. Who's next?
Hi.
So
I'm
you're
on pink. I am
for entertainment. Tony, which voiceover actor kept speaking in the voice of Bugs Bunny as he neared death in 1989?
Monty's so mad at me that I don't know this.
No.
I am too.
I know everything about
this. I'm not
this
mad,
story.
But I know it.
I really don't know. I know that Chuck Jones directed lots of Bugs Bunny shorts, but he did not do the voice. I don't know. I'm so sorry, everybody.
Are you drawing a blank?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
It was Mel Blanc.
Okay.
He didn't keep talking in Bugs Bunny's voice, but he was in a coma, and one of the doctors said, how are you today, Doc? And he answered.
I think
in
I would have gotten
voice.
That one about 2 hours ago, but some things have happened since then.
I'm joining Glenn on the green wedge.
Hello.
Space.
Nice to see you.
All right.
Yeah.
I tell you what, makers. Because we're all getting, this is getting a little ridiculous, and we're all getting a little punch drunk, and indeed literally drunk in some cases. we're going to play to the end of this round. And whoever's got the most wedges or, you know, joint wedges will be winners or joint winners or whatever.
I think that's fair.
Yay.
So, Erica, this will be your last, well, not necessarily your last question, but your last round of questions.
My last turn. Yep. Yeah. I'm fine with that.
Turn. Very good. Well done.
You get a point.
Sorry. So did you, is that you on green? Yes.
Green. Yep.
Which Madonna single was about a pregnant girl asking her father not to criticize?
No. Papa, don't preach.
Yeah. Indeed.
I get a wedge.
Not only says Madonna, rephrases the entire title of the song in the question.
Which song
Father,
called,
do not criticize.
Which song called Papa, don't preach is about a...
I have no problem with that.
You deserve it. You deserve it after knowing all the other answers.
I'm going to go over here to Living in the 80s. Little title significance for the game.
Sweep the board, Erica. Sweep the board.
I would love
you. They're all Doctor Who questions, every single one of them.
Oh, that'd be great.
Wouldn't it just?
One would be fine.
Whose portrait appeared on credit cards launched by a Memphis bank, which Americans queued overnight to apply for?
Elvis Presley? Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Okay. Uh-huh. Memphis, my last turn is my best. I answered two questions correctly.
Yay, Erica!
That question is just to make fun of Americans.
And now I have a chance for a pink wedge.
Oh, wouldn't this be ironic if I've just declared this is the last round and Erica goes on and wins it?
That'd be amazing.
Oh, dear. Erica, which female cop series saw Loretta Swit replaced by Meg Foster, who was then replaced by Sharon Gless?
Charlie's Angels?
Is that your final answer?
I was going to say, well, at first I was going to say Juliet Bravo, but
no.
I'm guessing that's not it.
It was Cagney and Lacey.
Cagney
and
Lacey.
Favorite show.
I did not
know Meg Foster
it's
was.
It's an age thing. I don't think it reran.
I hated
much.
That show.
I don't think it reran.
Well, I have just rolled my way to a wedge space on news and views, so I could be taking the lead here in this final of rounds.
I hope you do, because then I don't have to feel bad about not tying for the
Let's
win.
This be a sudden death, because I'd like to die.
All right. Steve, which London tube station was hit by a fire tragedy which led to a smoking ban throughout the underground?
I can name but a single station of any kind of British type, and that is Paddington Station.
No, it was King's Cross.
Yeah, it's not a tube station, but I thought for sure the only one that Steve would know would be Cockfosters.
I know it now.
Monty's turn.
I would like an entertainment question, please.
What champagne did James Bond sip in The Living Daylights?
Tottinger's?
No, it was Bollinger.
Oh.
All right.
All right.
I may
not
one
even
more down.
To the champagne.
Down to the wire. Glenn, close us out.
Let's see how quickly I can take this to the bridge. Or off the bridge into the end. I'm going with...
Where's that confounded bridge?
Living in the 80s. I'm going to burn this bridge.
Glenn, what color Smarties were banned in the USA? Let me just say that over here, Smarties are kind of a bit like M&Ms. I'm guessing that they tried to launch them in the US and failed.
I'm guessing
Smarties are something different here.
I have no idea, but I'm guessing it's green.
No, it was red.
Oh. Red.
Red, yeah, dye.
Red dye.
Dye
three,
gets you every four. Time. Yeah.
We care a lot about getting cancer from candy.
Red M&Ms were also gotten rid of.
Oh, you're right.
Also, oh, I didn't know that was a cancer fear. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, okay. Phew. So at the end of that tortuous game, so we have joint winners. So Steve and Monty both have two wedges. Well done.
And the important thing is we all learned a lot.
And everybody got at least one wedge. That's pretty good going.
That's actually pretty good.
I didn't feel, Mike Gatting. I didn't feel singing detective.
I didn't feel totally
Julian
uninformed.
Clary.
I didn't feel totally uninformed. I just felt mostly uninformed, which was pretty good.
All right. So my thanks to Erica, Steve, Tony, Monty, and Glenn for taking part today. And thanks to all of you out there for listening. And we'll see you next time.